Steve, Rowdy, Eric and Brendan. How are you guys?
Going well, Steve. How's your week been, mate?
Yeah, not too bad. The rest is?
What about you, Warnie?
Mate, going well.
It's been a that's good.
Pretty terrible week in some facets of sport, but anyway.
As good as you can be when the Poms beat the Aussies again?
Yeah, yes. We will acknowledge that in formalities.
Series over. Series over. A couple of dead rubbers to come, so well done to them. What about you? What about your own form on the weekend, Warnie?
Yeah, let's probably not go there.
All right, carry on.
Carry on.
Carry on with the show, Eric.
Who's next?
I'm over the moon.
Eric,
Pat's made the Super Bowl. Who would have seen that coming?
Yeah, who? Everybody. All of them.
Did they come from behind again?
They did. They did come from behind. So, yeah, up and about today. And Steve got the intro in less than three takes, so I was able to get my chips in beforehand now.
Mm.
Well, good effort.
Thanks. Probably questionable, actually, because I was considering actually stopping you on the second take.
Is it fair to say that that might be your highlight then, the Pats?
No, but nice attempt at a segue.
I thought that this is the highlight. You're going to say the highlight was Steve's counting.
Well, that was going to be it until you ruined it there just for me. No, look, I've gone nice and simple here for my highlight of the week. The highlight for me was the open day at the new Perth Stadium. Good to see over 100,000 people go in there. Going to be a big week for the stadium.
Wow, was it that many that went through over there?
Yes, yes. No, I just made up that number. I inflated it like a WrestleMania 3 crowd.
What was the real number then?
It was about 20 or 30. It was hard to tell. There was a few banners up, but it wasn't 80.
Eric was standing there with a camera.
I had one of those clickers and it was all good. Yeah. But no, it was good to see it open up. A big weekend when they play the international there. So
yeah,
for those who got a seat there, you lucky buggers. But no, it was good to see it open, and let's welcome this new era of West Australian sport.
All very good feedback from what I hear so far.
It's true, yeah.
From everybody, so.
Except from good. Uber, but that's another story for another day.
Uber, I'm not aware of that one.
Well,
we'll save that one.
Uber aren't allowed to go up to the stadium because
okay.
They want to encourage public transport.
Yes, yes, I see that. That is potentially something that people are going to have to get used to, the fact that they can't drive there. But
no,
I think it's going to be a good thing in the long run when people get used to it.
Yeah,
no one can congest it anyway, so.
No.
Well, we've got a 21st century stadium with, you know, the 20th century rules, but that's all right. That's another story for another day. We'll save it for another podcast. Anyway, Warner, what was your highlight of the week?
Mine's probably a little bit sinister in this sense, but I just think it was absolutely funny with the Colin Sylvia incident.
Jeez, you've changed it, have you, based on this. Now, just before you say anything, remember, there are legal ramifications
there
to what you're saying.
I don't know the full ins and outs of it, so I'm not by any means...
Well, apparently there were ins and outs of it.
Well, I don't know, I just find it funny that someone's gone and no doubt he's probably got a fair bit of coin in his own pocket anyway, but hey, why use that when you can go and use someone else's credit card and purchase your...
Allegedly.
Allegedly purchase your self help, if you will.
Well, maybe you just invested in Bitcoin heavily, and that's why.
Luckily, Warnie's also a lawyer, so he can cover himself in his own comments.
Well, anyway, I just thought.
Can you enlighten people who have heard about
for those that haven't heard the
sounds
incident,
like Steve hasn't heard of it,
yeah.
just yet. He allegedly. commandeered a credit card and managed to put, I believe, $4,000 into his betting account, as well as purchase various
favours from the female persuasion.
Happy endings, I guess.
A few Derek favours.
Yep. And also some pornography.
Is he mates with Wayne Rooney?
He could be.
Allegedly.
Anyway.
I heard they're allegedly mates.
Either way, I don't know. I just find it hilarious. Personally.
Oh, that's very sinister. You're right. You've taken this down a path. Bring us back to the light, Rowdy.
I just find it hilarious that you allegedly steal a credit card and put it in your own betting account.
Yeah, I would say that allegedly there's a paper trail on that one.
Yeah. Allegedly.
Allegedly. I'm no Hank Scorpio. I'm not a criminal mastermind, but I would have thought that left a trail. Rowdy, bring us back to the light.
There's a reference. I don't know if I can bring us back to the light, but I can tell you what. The Turner is absolutely turning it up at the moment. He's guided the Scorchers home to another win Saturday night. I thought the Hurricanes had made enough runs. They batted well late. But Turner, he's just in red-hot form at the moment. And you can sort of, when he's in there at the end, you sense that he's going to get the Scorchers over the line. Another 50 not out off, I think, 32 or 33 balls. So Yeah, he's in hot form, Ashton. So good on him.
I think the impressive part is when he goes out there, he just doesn't look like he's going to get out.
No, he doesn't.
At the moment.
There is the curse.
He's just put the mozzer on him right now.
But I will say, if he does keeps this up, they're going to have to rename it the Turnus in a moment. So he is absolutely killing it. So good highlight. Good.
Thanks,
Eric. Back to positive thinking.
I'm glad you approve.
They're going to rename it for one game?
Yeah, pretty much. But what a way to go out.
Yeah, true.
As we usher in this new era of West Australian sport. Anywho, Steve.
Yeah, mine's a little different. I overheard this on the radio on the weekend.
At the bus stop. Okay.
No.
What do you mean overheard it? Did you like eavesdrop on someone else's radio? Yeah.
I wasn't.
Excuse me, sir.
I wasn't paying attention to your radio, and I overheard it.
Oh,
so,
wow.
Yes.
So you were eavesdropping.
Yeah.
Well, not
quite
really,
rude,
but.
He thought it was a phone call.
A lady by the name of last name wrong.
No, we're not talking about Colin Sylvia.
We've moved on
from Sylvia.
Lydia Lasilla. She's just won a World Cup gold in aerial skiing. She's 36, which was impressive. As it is, she's just come back from having a break from having a child. She's been to two previous Olympics, one gold and one bronze. And way back in 2005, she's come back from an ACL as well. So
yeah.
I just think it's pretty impressive to still be doing that at 36 and 20 days, roughly about 20 days from another Winter Olympics.
Yeah,
so
it's good timing.
Yeah, probably a good shot of getting a medal there as well. So yeah, that was my highlight.
Good highlight, Steve. I like it, mate. Like it. Out of left field and, you know, coming into the Winter Olympics. Yeah. This is the time you want to be in form.
Exactly.
When all else fails, I suppose, at that age, you can just take up darts.
Okay.
Sure. And that came from somewhere.
And speaking about things out of left field.
Darts.
Darts. Okay. We're not going to be talking about darts for the show today.
Not yet.
I don't believe.
No, I don't believe that. Well, unless we're talking about Steve's leg spinners on the weekend, apparently. He darted those in, I was told. So there we go. We finally found a segue there for you, Warnie.
What? Oh, you mean to get my two wickets?
Yes, we did mean that, Steve.
In 30 seconds, talk us through the two wickets.
I mean, did you get two wickets?
In 30 seconds.
In 30 seconds. Okay.
Timing.
One, some guy just tried to top me because I was a spinner. And
you're not a spinner, by the way.
He's a spinner.
Oh, well, I'm pretty sure they spun, so...
Spinnerism.
That's not the
spinnerism.
Definition of a spinner. Trust me.
And the second one was, again, another guy trying to taunt me, but I got through him and he was stumped.
Oh.
So...
Good, and that took up 15 seconds. Well done.
That was expecting that to be more interesting.
That gives us 15 extra seconds to talk about the Luke beverage of the week.
Oh, good. Oh, good work.
Segways all around, sort of.
So, I am on the beverage of the week, and I have decided that I do not care for the love of my fellow sports podcasters, and I was going with what worked well for me. So,
and what was left over in the fridge from a couple of weeks ago?
No, that's not true, is it? It was left over in the cupboard. So I've just gone with the mixer of a vodka and some soda water. The guys here have got a little bit of bitter lemon in there as well. Put a little bit of a twist on theirs. But the couple of reasons for it. One, vodka and water, according to the legendary Chris Jericho. Good drink to drink when you're on the diet because there's no extra preservatives. Mm. And I've gone with the Russian standard vodka because unfortunately the K-train, the K-man, derailed last night by a Russian. So... little bit of a nod there to that game, but we'll talk a bit more about that in the predictions. So, Steve, you'll get a look at the label later on.
What is the vodka brand?
Russian Standard.
Oh, it is Russian Standard.
Sorry,
that's the name.
Rowdy, I don't know if you know this, but when people talk, you should listen.
Yeah, okay.
But,
thought you were just saying it was of Russian Standard.
If it's of Russian Standard, I don't think it's actually Russian Standard, because that's pretty much like methanol or whatever it is over there. But sorry to all our fans in Russia. I'm sure you're all tuning in, but... that's the beverage of the week, so hopefully you guys can stomach it, and I'm going
to
just keep drinking.
That's of course if they're allowed to listen to podcasts in Russia.
Well, probably. I'd say so. I think they're very open and free democracy.
Russian government website or Facebook page.
As long as we're not putting down Putin, I think they'll be allowed to listen to it.
I think Rowdy's a bit, apparently he's been watching too much Tom Ballard and The Tonight League, so he just thinks they're all listening to us at the moment. And look, to be honest, I'd love to have the numbers that the Russian spies have on our podcast, but that's a story for another day as well. Let's move on from the beverage of the week.
We digress.
Steve, I've gone over my quota of time. Let's talk about sports quota systems.
Oh,
That's a good one there. I was just reading.
Every time it's a bad segue, Warnie doesn't interrupt me. When it's seamless, Warnie wants to get his four fingers and non-opposable thumb in. So I'm upset. You should know. You should sense these things. But sorry, Steve.
Yeah, yeah. No. I just read an interesting article the other day, and it literally just was a piece about the current quota systems in South African cricket. What they were and just some of the ramifications from it. So just
what did you find out?
So basically the current quota
look at Warnie's face just then. Sorry guys, he was I've never seen him that intrigued in something before. Unless it was like, you know, covered in chocolate or something.
He's just thrown it. What did you find out, mate?
Yeah. Very Mike Sheen of you.
Very keep it simple, guys.
What do you think?
The current quota system is, at the moment, there has to be at least, on average, 6 non-white players. And two of them have to be, on average again, two of them have to be black Africans.
Yep.
So, average?
I think it's actually, sorry to interrupt, I think it's more along aligned with the population percentages as well, if I'm not mistaken. I think that's part of it.
I think so. I think that's what they came up with. They around 2015 they done some research into it and came out with these numbers. I mean the strategy for the rugby side is that they want 50% of the rugby side to be of colour by 2019. So they've also done it on netball and a couple of other sports as well.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, back in 2016, at that time, the population was classed, you know, they've got people who are classed as black, who are a mixed race, and then black Africans, and they actually had it labelled that 80% of the population at that time were black Africans. So it's weird because they weren't having that sort of representation, in especially the cricket teams, as you talk about. But it's tough to really go into because obviously there were some political atrocities that happened in South Africa.
Yeah,
absolutely. You know, but I don't think you can get into a sports situation and say that we need to pick our best team asterisk this. You know, it's tough to say. There's, you know, probably various reasons why they look at it, but at the end of the day, national sport, you want to pick your best side. You would have thought.
Yeah. I think you take away the political side of it, which is very, as you said, hard to go on about, especially since none of us live there. As you're saying, looking at a sports sense, you know, there must be a pretty hard job trying to pick the best side and then trying to then fit into a quota system as well.
Yeah.
Well, I don't think it's worked too bad for the South African cricket team if you think about it. There's, you know, Rabada, Philander, you know, Bavuma, all these guys there. They Mackay and Tini's mate. you're dead right, and a lot of them actually seem, and you'd probably argue they're actually probably walk up starts in that side anyway.
Yes, that's it. They've definitely got the talent to be in there.
Putting that aside, I actually reckon, and sort of reading a bit more into it and trying to understand sort of what the positives are, what the negatives are, but looking at the only real negatives behind it is probably when a couple of incidents where someone's actually won, you know, like a gold medal, for example, or a championship, and then had that revoked, I suppose, because their sport failed to meet the quota system.
Yeah.
Agree that there's probably a bit harsh, but I think sort of just looking at the bigger picture of it is, you know, the Africans don't tend to get the same opportunities that the whites do. So as a result, you know, it's only fair, I suppose, that you probably look at how they can actually, you know, it's a long-term strategy as opposed to just that overnight fix. And it's probably something there that they've had to do to ensure that everyone's given the equal opportunity that hasn't been there in the past.
I think you're spot on. I think that's spot on. It's to give everybody the equal opportunity. And so, you know, from a grassroots level that you've got young, you know, Africans that are you know, encouraged to play and know that they're going to be given the chance. And you'd hope that in a few years' time, that once, you know, it's all filtered through and you know, cricket is, you know, basically fair and it's, you know, all cricketers, no matter what your race or what the color of your skin. Mm. Once it's equal, then hopefully they can say, okay, now we can get rid of, we can take this quota system out of it, because we know that the guys that are in the team now, they're deserving of their spot, so they'll just stay in there no matter who they are. And hopefully once it's a level playing field, then I'll be able to say, okay, we don't need this now, because we've got some wonderful, you know, dark African players that are coming through. They're going to stay in the team. There's going to be more coming through. But I think you're right. I think because it was such an issue there, I think they've had to equal the playing field by doing this.
But they did take a break from it.
Which is the interesting thing.
So upon their readmission, they, you know, not initially, but it was 1998 to 07, I think, from memory, where they actually had a system. It was a different one to what they've got now. But they took a break from that, and they've only just looked at getting it back in 2016.
Did they feel like it wasn't equitable? Is that why they brought it back?
Well, that's it. And the other thing that has been spoken about, which is what you guys have touched on, is having those role models in the national team. Because you're talking about, again, 80% of the population. Mm. And if they're seeing a team that's not representative of what they believe is representing them, then you can see whether it's a falling out of love with the game or not seeing anything to aspire to. But it's a dangerous game, because it gives the perception, and we talk about, you know, especially Philander, Rabada, they're great. They're great players already.
Sensational.
But it puts that asterisk on them, you know. Yeah. Was there a fourth player who missed out, who was also having a great domestic season, you know? Yeah. So it's unfair on the guys who are performing, regardless of skin colour.
That's why I think they should get rid of this whenever they can, so it doesn't come back onto those players and that people can't say, oh, look, you're only in the team because of this.
When in doubt, just go to England.
No, it's not a healthy way to run a system, because in essence, you're trying to get equality by removing equality.
Yeah.
Because total equality is winning your spot on merit.
It is, but there's far too many underlying issues there for that to be such a simple...
Yeah, but there's always going to be underlying issues, no matter what. I mean, you could say the same about Australian cricket if you're looking at Indigenous players. Where are the Indigenous players?
Well, if they were playing cricket and they were good enough, they'd be selected.
Yeah, but are there Indigenous players running around at state level?
They're probably not getting the pathways. Yeah, they're not getting pathways.
Could be good enough, but aren't being looked at. So it's that kind of thing there. I mean, as you said, they went away from the quota system for a while, but all reports were they were still doing it. They were still saying, okay, we need to make sure that we have a good amount of coloured players.
So there was something
in the last World Cup here where Kyle Abbott had a really good game, had a blinder of a game, and then was dropped for Vernon Philander. Now, whether he was dropped on merit or not,
it will always raise questions. Yeah,
it was on merit, and it could be, but there's always, again, that asterisk.
Yeah,
because reports are that the board wanted another player in there, and he was the unlucky one that got out. Now, you know, I mean, I sit back and go, well, Vernon Philander's a pretty good player.
Yeah,
so, I'd have him in the side.
Yeah,
without a doubt.
And from recollection, I think he was carrying a bit of an injury in that World Cup.
He was struggling. I think it was a knee.
But you're always going to have that. And yes, you can sit here and go, the players are good enough. The colour players are, but there are times where they haven't been, and so that's where this quota system is. Again, it's another thing the selectors have to try fight off, because we have that in our side where a player may just get selected because something's seen in them that can value add to that side.
Mm.
So all of a sudden you have these white players who are going, well, that person's only getting selected because of that, because that's what they believe. Yeah. And then it just causes internal carnage in the system.
Yeah, and look, it's all nice to say, oh, look, we have a quota system, or whether they keep that in-house, but it's really just, it's almost wallpapering over cracks.
Yeah.
That's not the issue. The issue isn't that we don't have enough black South Africans in the one-day test team, whatever it is. It's the fact that the facilities and the communities where a lot of these black Africans are growing up, they're poor, they're underdeveloped. That's where the focus should be. And then you're going to naturally get more of these players who are getting their, for want of a better term, on their own merit.
And that's from what I've read, that's part of the, what's it attributed to, them not having, you know, so many players in cricket because they go to the likes of soccer and basketball and stuff like that, which are cheaper to play, cheaper in fee. All you need is a ball, and you run out and you kick it around. You don't need pads, you don't need a bat, you don't need a helmet. And so you got more of them. No, you don't need shin pads. More of them playing soccer or rugby as well, rather than playing cricket.
Mm.
So, I mean, ideally, I'd like to. Obviously, it's a bit different for me, but I'd like to see at some point them have a plan to say, yeah, they got this plan for 2019, but how about 2019? We want, you know, equal amount in rugby, we equal amount in cricket, and then we want to get rid of it because we want to have a foundation which people get selected on merit rather than we have to double check to make sure they're from a particular race or.
I suppose just posing the question though, and this, I don't expect anyone to really answer it, but it probably begs the question that, you know, how do the actual players themselves feel they're being selected based on their skin colour as well, as opposed to purely merit? You know, and I'd probably suspect there that they would be chomping at the bits to represent their country anyway. So I'd probably speaking a bit out of turn in that sense that, you know, I don't think it'd be a huge issue for them because they'd probably understand the bigger picture behind it, but there's always going to be that little bit of, you know, that pride, I suppose, as well as a professional athlete, were you necessarily selected because of your colour or because of your talent?
I reckon for the younger ones it'd be pretty hard. The more senior players, I think, well, you would like to think the selector's gone in and said you're being selected because you're good enough. So it's more the younger ones if they come in and they don't perform and then all of a sudden people start pointing the finger. So
Yeah,
probably the ones. But I mean, saying that, I don't think they've had a problem with any of their players coming in.
Done well in the selections there.
I think the key you say there, Steve, is performance. So, you know, if they're not performing in the team, no matter what the sport, netball, soccer, rugby, cricket, and they're keeping their spot, then the players themselves will probably feel a bit of pressure and maybe even feel a bit guilty, like, why am I on the team and this guy's not in the team? But I think if they're performing, they're going to, you know that they deserve the spot and it'll continue. So, but I agree with you, Steve. I think eventually if they could, you know, once it's a level playing field, they get rid of the quota system so that, you know, it's not really a side issue.
Yeah, as to when.
Well, what's a level playing field?
I mean from
the grassroots, because I think what happened probably with cricket, for example, is that you probably found at the grassroots level that the opportunities were going, and you see this in Australia, like you see it in Australia with certain in grassroots level at junior cricket clubs and whacker cricket clubs. It's not necessarily the best players that get picked in those whacker clubs.
The coach's son.
It might be who the coach
or
knows.
Or someone's daughter.
Or
someone's son.
Yeah. Thanks, Johnny Farnham. There's always a bit of nepotism involved, and, you know, they may not necessarily pick the best players.
Yeah.
But every sport. And every sport has that at grassroots.
Well, that's it. Community clubs have nepotism and selection dramas. Just ask our selection committee at our local cricket club. There's always things you've got to consider. But these are hard and fast parameters, which makes it harder to wiggle around.
Yeah, and like that. In sport is one of those things where you don't generally go on statistics. I know the Aussie sides don't go on statistics because then selection would be easy. You'd go who scored the most runs. Who's got the most wickets? They go on gut feel, they go on conditions, and
we have a T-Pain story.
And who trains the hardest? Apparently, Glenn Maxwell's.
Don't look at me. So, I don't train.
It's one of those things. We say, you know, at what level do we say enough? It's all good. At some point you got to pull the band-aid off and hope, because at the end of the day it's a society problem. Hope society is good enough to move past that.
Look, if you go back to South Africa, a lot of their culture or their after apartheid culture is about sport. I mean, you look at the 95 World Cup and how much that meant because of the representation that black Africans had. You had Nelson Mandela at the forefront of that. So a lot of that pride that they have about their race is based on sport. So that's where I can see what the thinking is of those selectors, that why they want to see those black role models out there to continue to encourage and motivate. But again, it's one of those things. Look, we don't have sociology degrees, so we don't know the ins and outs and the minutiae of it, but it is tough to say that that's fair when you make an unfair playing field.
And the quota system has got to be better than during apartheid when they weren't able to compete in anything, in any level. Yeah. So look, you know, if people, I guess, do want to complain and say, oh, look, it's not fair that, you know, this quota system is not going to be balanced well, at least they're able to compete internationally, because there was a while there it was so bad that they weren't accepted, which was fair enough, and that was the right thing to do.
The one thing I would say is just imagine if Dale Steyn was fit. So you know, we're talking about six to a team here, so it's 11.
Steyn's not bad. Yeah, I'd pick him.
Steyn.
Might give him 5 seconds.
He'd be all right.
Peter's bowling pretty well.
AB, yeah. Duplessis, and De Kock.
Duplessis.
Duplessis.
He's also a French teacher.
Imagine if so what happens if the next best player in is not coloured? He doesn't get picked.
And well, like I said, he moves to England.
That's the one thing that I guess I look at it and I don't like about it.
Yeah.
Yes, I can see why.
That's unfortunate. It's very complimentary of you.
No, it's not.
The quota system
you're exactly
is.
Right, because Kevin Pearson actually did that.
There's been a number of cricketers who have moved away from
and he sort of felt, you know, obviously growing up there, that his opportunities were limited because he's white. So he thought, like, I'll make the move, and no doubt that's probably what a lot of them do.
And we should say, right or wrong, he made the move to England, and that's how he made.
Brought about his opportunity. Yeah. So
made some great friends in the English team.
Yeah. Well, there's a fair few other sappers that were playing for him as well.
Yeah.
They didn't like him either, though.
Yeah. No, but the other ones who didn't like him the most.
That's right. They're probably going, this toss. Yeah. Anyway.
So look. On that, we since we're on the cricket thing, we might as well. Move on to our goat herds again. We had plenty left.
Oh, yes.
Oh, goats in a sauna.
Goats in a sauna.
Goats in a sauna, yes. And we might as well start with cricket.
All right.
Is number one, is anyone going to say any other than Don Bradman for number one?
I feel as though you don't listen to the podcast. Yeah. It was the first thing we said. Yeah. It had to be someone that you've seen. So we all acknowledge that Don Bradman is the greatest of all time. He is. His numbers, those wickets.
Unless
those
you're media, they might think otherwise.
Yeah.
Not just that. We might be covering some sports we may not watch a lot of. So I guess it's... The best player you've seen might not be the greatest. So
yes, no, I did forget. I did remember this rule from last week.
You didn't. You really didn't.
Yes, he's remembered now.
After I told
you,
you remembered. Oh, okay.
Yeah,
that's good. Yeah,
it's one of those memories.
All right. Well, Warner, you lead us off.
I had some deep thought about this actually.
Did it hurt?
I smell some wood burning.
Yeah. I also call bullshit. But anyway.
The mice in his head ran really, really fast.
Lenny.
I've gone two that have probably revolutionised the game in a lot of ways. Without a doubt, Shane Warne.
Yep.
I think for me was the pinnacle of...
No one bowled leg spin before him?
Look at devil's advocate over here. Just launch a bomb in there and run off, why don't you?
Back bomb.
Yeah.
Onto his fence.
Yeah, onto his fence.
Yeah, calm down. We're talking about a revolution here.
Yeah, all right.
Wow. You spun that nicely.
Viva Revolution.
I spun it right round.
Shut up.
It's taken me 12 episodes to get a shut up from Warnie. That's actually longer than I had on the spread there. Thank you. Insert some sort of applause sound effect.
Anyway, the real Shane Warne, please stand up. But his craft was no doubt one that was absolutely phenomenal to watch. I think really brought the bums on the seats. You know, you had so many kids just all of a sudden bowling leg spin in club cricket.
Like yourself.
Park, myself included. So he was top of my list. And
so he's to blame.
Obviously the wickets he's taken and what he's done. And even...
The theatre of it all.
Yeah.
It was always good theatre.
The vibe.
It was the vibe. It was Marbo. It was just everything.
What's it got to do with Jimmy Ma? I don't get that. Anyway.
Secondly, I actually went with, speaking of the South Africans, I went Jacques Callis.
Yes.
I thought,
good call.
In all honesty, the bloke's averaging over 50. And, you know, I can't remember his averages with the ball. I think it was around about 25, 26-ish, something around that. with an absolute bucket load of wickets, bucket load of catches.
Came in at
number three and literally just bolstered that side every time they'd come out and play. Mm-hmm. So he was my number two. I don't mean that as a bad way. And I thought for another one that I used to love watching play, Ricky Ponting. I just think when his stroke plays, pull shots, cut shots, just drives were just phenomenal.
Yep.
And of course his fielding to add to that as well.
Well, I'll go next because you stole two of mine.
Thief.
Yeah, Thief.
Sorry.
Shane Warne's my number one.
Well,
I just...
Be original, Steve.
Yep. No, he was just... He's by far the best bowler I've seen. Yeah. There's been some good bowlers around, but his ability to think a wicket was just ridiculous.
Second to none.
Just set a player up and follow through with that. And that's why he took so many wickets as a leg spinner as well.
We had a lot of his wickets just standing at the top of his mark.
Yeah, yeah, pretty much before he... Yeah. My number...
Or on Daryl Cullinan's couch. His therapist's couch.
Yeah. Yeah. My number two was Sachin Tendulkar.
What was that sound effect about? Warnie's just had something exhale from him.
There's one thing Australian
called Ghostbusters
of this era will never have to do, and that's to face some of their bowling attacks. Because after the West Indies, there really wasn't too much else. Great attacks. He always seemed to score runs. So just his record speaks for himself, and
what's your counterpoint there? Because you visibly and audibly, for our podcast listeners, let out a little bit of a groan there.
Yeah, no, I think
it's because he's Indian.
It is, and that's not to be
you
racist.
You do know what your family lineage is.
Yeah, I do know. But no, that's just because of the plebs that they have and trolling and thinking Coley's
better.
Oh,
he's gone back to his face.
But anyway,
My number three was Callis. Just for the reason it is... Every team looks for that all-rounder, and he's the best by far, as saying, like, to come in and bat number three, to get the wickets he did.
But he would have done all right just as a batsman.
Yeah, yeah.
He'd take that.
Well, he would have done all right as either.
Well, that's right.
And there was a meme floating about where they got Tendulkar's average.
Yes, I did see this.
And who was the bowler? India's best Kapil, bowler.
Was it Kapil Dev?
No, it wasn't. No. It was Zaya Khan.
They
had Tendulkar and Zaya Khan, and his... Stats were exactly
so their
the
best bowler and their best batsman,
and he was it.
He
put that on the BCCI page there, Warnie. See how you go with that.
They're my three. What about you, Ralph?
Good, Steve. Well, I'm going to change mine a little bit in light of what you guys have said, but I'm going to go number one. I'm going to go Sachin Tendulkar. I know he didn't. His record in Australia was
that's my Warnie impersonation.
Why?
Hey, come on, Warnie.
I'm like that's not Warnie.
Anyway, don't insult me like that. I didn't just steal $50 out of your wallet.
How do I know? But
I don't
where's
know
my wallet?
Anyway,
wouldn't pick up my
hat. Moving on,
quite
swiftly from that.
If there's $50 in there, you would have eaten it by now.
$50 worth of chips.
Yeah. That's over 1 week. Anyway, moving on. Like Sachin, the world's greatest batsman. I think he's just all class. He probably there was maybe one or two Australian tours where he maybe didn't quite compete to the level or perform at the level we would have wanted him to at this level. So Warnie's just snuck off with some more snacks. That's why I'm having a little
giggle. He literally tiptoed it as if he was like an orangutan, walking around a hot zoo or something.
And now he's swallowing it.
Now he's scratching his chest and
picking at his head as well. Anyway.
So I'm even. We all know how good Sachin is. I'm going to go number two, Glenn McGrath, just an absolute metronome bowler. Glenn McGrath, just fantastic. And he's basically been the prototype for fast bowlers ever since. Everyone is told now, bowl like Glenn McGrath, which maybe is sometimes not correct because then they're trying to make bowlers into something they're not. But I can see why they're doing it. So Glenn McGrath, number two. I was going to say Warne at number three because it's been said a lot. I'm going to pick someone a little bit out of left field, but this guy is an absolute quality cricketer. Love watching him play. AB de Villiers, I'm going to put him at number three.
Good choice. And he can do it all.
He can do it all. He is a gun fielder, a gun keeper, gun bat.
He's not
a bad bowler, too. He bowls a little innies and outies, doesn't he? He can have a bit of a bowl. But AB,
I wouldn't go that far.
Better than me.
Swing here and out, swing there.
How many B-grade wickets has he taken this year already?
Certainly not more than me.
Okay.
But AB de Villiers, absolute quality player. I think he's an absolute gun player. I think he was injured for a little bit there, and if he wasn't... You know, his stats would be even better than what they are. So I'm putting AB in there. What about yourself, Eric?
Good picks.
Yeah, very good. Look, mine are very similar to an amalgamation of all of yours. So, I mean, no doubt anyone would know that my favourite of all time is Shane Warne. That's why for the last 25 years I've tried to ball leg spin and failed miserably. That's come from many of years outside the front yard. And
now you just try and bowl Adam Zampers?
Yeah. Well, Adam Zamper was an honourable mention.
I think they're more like Adam Dales, but anyway.
Adam Dale definitely had me for pace. But he probably had a shorter run up, though, to be honest. Yeah.
He probably had you for movement off the pitch, too.
Oh, that's uncalled for, Stephen.
Where I was alluding to.
So, there, Shane Warne for giving me false hope that you turning a cricket ball is easy because I was using a tennis ball out the front yard. But he is the greatest of all time. Mm. For mine, I think he's even better than Bradman as a cricketer, but that's just my opinion. I had Ricky Ponting as well. Again, the way he would hit the ball, his pull shot was absolutely brilliant. It was unfortunate that towards the end of his career, that was probably the shot that started to fail him as it got a little bit quicker onto him. But, I will love watching Ricky Ponting bat.
Just on Ponting as well, how good was he even without wearing a lid?
Oh, yeah. He'd
still be happily hook and pull till the cows come home.
He's a tough man, Ricky Ponting, as well. Apparently a bit of a big dog as well, if you believe Brendan McCullum, off the field.
Another big dog wannabe.
Yeah. Well, I think he was one of the OG big dogs. But the third one I had, well, and I thought this is where Warnie was going to go when he was talking about people who revolutionised the game, but I'd say Adam Gilchrist as well. Look, there were keeper batsmen. I went, what was it, Kularatne? It was really was the first aggressive wicketkeeper batsman. Mm. I know Alex Stewart as well was very good, but Gilchrist is pretty much what all teams try to emulate, was the fact that he could come in, number seven, take a game away from you, or if they were 5 for 280 Australia, which didn't happen often, to be honest, in the 90s. No. But he could come in, hit some quick runs, and before they know it, they had 400 on the board. Yeah. So, and the other thing as well, one thing that we Australians get carried away with now when we're selecting a team based on batters, is that you've also got to be a decent keeper. And Gilchrist was more than decent. He was very good. He was a wicketkeeper first, but could really, really bat. So that's why I had Gilly in at three in my top three.
Good picks.
Yep.
Good picks.
One guy who always seemed to get overlooked at the keeper stage is Kumar Sangakkara.
Yeah.
He always seems to... Everyone talks about wicketkeeper batsman.
Still averaged over 50 with the bat.
Well over 50, and he batted three as well.
Yep.
But I think that's one of those things. He got shifted into the role of the batsman only because of how good a batsman he was. Mm. They actually ended up taking him away from behind the stumps so they could concentrate on that. It worked. He got something like, three or four triple tons or something close to that, or over double tons, I should say. He was probably a bit unlucky in Hobart a few years back when he was given out, as they would say.
Just before his 200.
Yeah, on 192. So, that's a good call out as well.
Yeah. Quality player.
So, look, cricketers, you could go on for ages about that, and we often do. who
step lightly into the basketball then.
The round ball game.
The bouncing round ball game.
Oh,
as soon as you went last, Cheese, do you want to kickstart us off?
Well, look, if you're not first, you're last. So, shake and bake. Look, basketball's easy for mine anyway. Michael Jordan.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he is the greatest of all time. I know people make the comparison, and I'm not sure if you guys will enter this conversation in a moment, but they always do the LeBron versus MJ. My goodness. Yep. Research McGee, aka Steve, has got a comparison table, and I look forward to crying through that. But look, Michael Jordan for me was who I grew up wanting to be.
Yep.
He wanted to be like Mike.
Basketball was popular.
You know, that's it. And like, I remember just from a personal standpoint when Space Jam came out on VHS, almost literally dragging my dad to the Target at Morley so that we could get the VHS with the special collector's coin. And
I saw it three times at the movies.
Yep. And it was. And it's worth every viewing of it. In fact, I'll probably do that this evening, is watch Space Jam now that we've brought it up.
But back on
the court, Michael Jordan is no better. You want the game won, he does it. That's it.
Just a fun fact I found about Jordan, actually. It's actually a pretty cool fact, and I think it was actually very humbling, I think, from Miami Heat to do this. But Pat Riley actually organised to have Jordan's number retired under the Miami Heat banner as well. So not only was 23 retired at the Bulls there for a while, but also it has been done for the Miami Heat.
Which made LeBron happy when he went there.
Despite never playing a game for them.
Yeah. And I think there's another club as well who's done that, but it just goes for... You know, the impact he's had on basketball and greater sports society as well. I mean, he was one of the first, when you look at his Nike endorsements, it's really a lot there for a lot of athletes making money off shoes and things like that, especially in the basketball world. Second one for me was Magic Johnson. So when I talk about wanting to be like Mike, when I actually played, I wanted to be like Magic Johnson, the way he could actually pass. And then I forget that he's like 6'8 or something like that. And which is the crazy thing about Magic Johnson. Beautiful hands, could beautiful eyes. Position. He actually started his first final series, I believe, as a center.
Yep.
So that just shows his all-round versatility.
Yep.
You know, came back, one of the greatest highlights in all the sports when he came back from his illness in that All-Stars game, and just amazing, amazing stuff. So
would you Magic say it's magical?
I wouldn't, because my puns aren't that bad. So
Warney would.
Yeah. Yeah. So, no, look, he's a certifiable legend. And third for me is not really the greatest of all time, but I'm going with my favourites here. So, I mean, you can make the case for LeBron. You can make the case for Larry Bird, the greatest clear player of all time. making more Space Jam references for those. But third for me, who really, as silly as it sounds, you know, we loved watching Michael Jordan growing up, but the person that really made me fall in love with basketball was James Crawford, the Alabama Slammer.
Yes, the Alabama Good call. Slammer.
So when
love that shot from the baseline,
JC.
Oh yeah, and look, he would slam it. And there's one of those things, like a lot of people who I annoy all the time when I talk about why I love the Bulldogs. I used to watch basketball on Friday nights when I was growing up until they took it off Channel 10.
Yep.
So I actually didn't know much about football, and I know you could probably argue I don't know much about football now.
So you didn't know about Wayne Carey and North Melbourne as a Friday night specialist then?
No, I didn't, because until they took it off Channel 10, I'd be watching
basketball.
Because North Melbourne played every Friday night game, so you wouldn't have even been aware that they're in the competition.
I didn't even know the rules to footy for quite a while. And ironically enough, I think I was an Eagles fan at that time.
It's fair to say you probably might not be aware they're still in the competition.
If it wasn't for Lindsay Thomas, maybe.
Yeah. I actually saw a funny thing, a meme where they were talking about ladder predictions at this time of the year. And it's just like, they've gone the first 17 slots. Please don't make ladder predictions because they are always out of whack, 18 North Melbourne.
Yeah.
But, yeah, look, James Crawford was what got me into basketball. And
good call.
You know, he still leaves an impact. And I remember a few years ago when the Wildcats were doing their 30th anniversary celebrations, they actually had a tribute game. He can still leap. He can still leap and jam the ball. So, yeah, those are my three. What about yourself, Steve? I'm going to skip you around.
Play on.
My one and two are MJ and LeBron. They're the two best I've seen. I would throw Bird and Magic up there, but to be perfectly honest, I didn't really watch too much of it. It's only what I've seen since. And I think the thing I love about them two the most was that rivalry they had. So, but yeah, those two are probably the two best I've seen. You're right, I did go through a whole bunch of stats because that's what it is at the moment. It's who's the best, LeBron or Jordan, which is probably a little unfair considering you had Kobe there. You probably had Shaq, which was...
Kobe's third, really.
You know, probably one of the best players of, you know, a generation as well. Yeah. So, but it's remarkable how close they are. I'm not going to read them all out now because there's just a whole heap, but they're pretty much similar, if not the same, on everything. I mean, you go through, Jordan's averages 3 more points, but LeBron has 2 more assists and 1 more rebound. They're pretty much the same in the postseason. I would have assumed that Jordan was a better shooter, but in reality, LeBron just pips him. LeBron's the better shooter statistically, but Jordan had a far better free throw record. So
Dan's not played on Excel spreadsheets, though.
No, I don't know, but I mean, you can't argue when LeBron's been put in big game situations, probably over the past 5-6 years time, he's done pretty well. And I think we forget who else Jordan had with him.
Well,
he had a really good Bulls side, and
well, so did LeBron for his first two rings. Because at Miami, that certainly wasn't a schlep side. That was a pretty good side. I would say that his support act, I mean, I know Pippen's a Hall of Famer, but Wade's going to be a Hall of Famer. Bosch, if he didn't have his issues with his lungs and those clots, then he'd probably be a Hall of Famer as well. So you're looking at about 3 Hall of Famers each, because obviously Rodman as well. So I don't think the Bulls side was as good around Jordan as that Miami side was around LeBron.
Oh, I believe the Bulls side was better.
Well, this could be a debate. Great sports size in history, maybe.
No,
I think that's next week.
Yeah.
But yeah. Anyway, I have Jordan as number one.
Nice.
At the moment, so I've got him as number one.
Good.
So
good decision.
LeBron's still going, so that might change. But my number three, this is just a personal favorite of mine.
Brian Scalabrine.
Growing up.
White Mamba.
The Hammer.
Oh.
I used to love him. I used to try and model my shooting on him. And that's why I got into the NBA, really, was when he went there. I started following it.
So. Playing at home, the Hammer is?
Shane Hill.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
The crowd here needed that one too.
Yeah. The blonde hair as well?
I may have at
standing
some
up
point,
to Charles Barkley, giving lip to Barkley was pretty cool.
I've never
met there's him, a name. I hope that he's actually.
Do you also like his commentary?
Heels.
Mm.
Oh, it's okay.
It's no Corey Homicide Williams.
Yeah,
no.
And
he's probably
hotel
laughing
books.
At the moment.
Yeah, Shane doesn't kill people.
What?
Moving on, Rowdy.
Rowdy, what'd you go for, mate?
I was just alluding to his nickname of Homicide. Okay, I'm not saying that he's killed anyone.
Yeah,
I'm sure nobody on that Fox Sports commentary team has killed anyone. Anyway, moving on. I'm getting very
like
blank
you
looks
said
here.
That he killed someone, but
okay. That was a joke. I went too far.
Yeah, it did.
All right. The
bring us back to life, Rowdy.
Back to life. The
back
two.
To the light.
The other thing I'd like to say is that by general consensus, our two goats so far have worn number 23.
Yeah.
Shane Warne and Michael Jordan. But anyway, yeah. Look, I don't. My basketball knowledge isn't great, but the players that I have seen, Michael Jordan has to be number one. Didn't really see much of Magic Johnson, so I can't put him up there. I'd say number two. I'd have to put in as LeBron. LeBron James is obviously a fantastic player. I'll put him as two, and I'm gonna go a little bit left field for my third. I'm gonna go a local champion who was. You know, got me involved in the Wildcats, and I've followed them because of his exploits. Ricky Grace.
Yes.
Ricky Grace. I'll put him in at number three.
You've
get him in there.
Stolen my amazing.
The amazing Grace.
Yeah.
Can I quickly sidetrack Ricky Grace? The best thing he ever did was not on the basketball court.
What's
so
that?
Back in like 1996, I did the MS Readathon because I was a bit of a book nerd.
Wow. Yeah.
And I read so many books that you got to go to a special event, and the special event was at Metro City, and it was Ricky Grace singing his rap single, I Bet You Get Goosebumps.
So
I'm going to do a search for this, probably whilst you guys are talking, I'm shooting out, and we're going to get that up on the site.
Yeah.
If I can't find it, I'm going to call out, and I'm going to even hit up the Wildcats and see if they can find that. And it is one of the greatest, it is almost as good as the Wildcats rap. It is so bad it's good. But yes, but on the field.
I'm intrigued on this now,
yeah.
I'm intrigued about this.
But on the field or the pitch or
the
court.
The grass.
Or the
grass.
The rectangle board game. He was a joy to watch as well.
Oh yeah, for such a little guy, could provide some real highlights and absolute champ bloke. Little story about Ricky Grace as well. And I was working Challenge Stadium many years ago, and I was working on the gates, and Ricky Grace was coming in. He left his VIP pass, and some idiot that was on the gate wasn't going to let him in, because he was just like, and he didn't want to make a fuss about it. He was like, okay, I've left my pass, or okay, I'll try and find another way in. And then I stepped up and said, mate, you've got to let him in. He's Ricky Grace. His name's up there, Hall of Fame, all this. So eventually he got in, and he was very appreciative that I let him in. But, very, very nice bloke too. Didn't kick up a fuss when the other idiot wouldn't let him in.
Good.
Great bloke.
It's good to hear little stories like that, I think.
Yeah.
I'll finish us off, rather. A couple of names already mentioned. Actually, all three of mine have been mentioned.
Stolen.
Jordan, stolen. He's on fire. The Jordan actually revolutionised the popularity of the game, I think, and without a doubt, in my eyes, the most marketable sports person in the world ever.
Mm.
I believe his fortunes are in excess now of the billions.
Yes, good call. Probably the most recognisable sports
brand,
star.
Absolutely, yep. Mm. To reference grown-ups, Toby Bryant, I just think he sort of modelled his game highly on Jordan as well, and you look at some of the things that he's been able to do in the game as well, absolutely phenomenal. Fun fact about him, his middle name, Bean.
What?
Bean.
Bean.
Kobe Bean Bryant. At least if Wikipedia
really?
Is anything to go by. So let's hope that's...
I think you've been had.
Yeah.
Kobe Bean Bryant.
Wikipedia, the source of truth.
Well... Anyway.
I think Kobe Bean Bryant for a long time.
Yeah, KBB. Yeah, anyway, I thought that was cool. But honourable mentions, I think, And again, this just comes down to personal favourites. Ricky Grace was mine growing up. Absolutely loved watching him play. I think Karl Malone needs to get a mention in there as well.
Yeah,
good. Him and Stockton combo.
Stockton
was just
as well.
Phenomenal. Yep, Stockton, same draft as Jordan as well.
Yeah.
And I think as a personal favourite over the years was, for me, Larry Johnson. Grandmama. I think was one of the best sporting ads I think I've ever seen in my time. One of a few, actually. The basketball ones going through the 90s were pretty
great.
Good.
Great sporting ads could be one for the future.
Yeah.
I've read the rundown, surely.
But yeah, Johnson, the shoes, I think just the ability as well for him, more specifically in the post when he's double teamed, he was just able to spin his way through it every time without fail and just cane it. But unfortunately, a back injury probably didn't help his causes, but great player nonetheless.
Warnie's just answered the age old question from NBA Jam was, is it the shoes? And yes, it's the shoes as
it
to
is
why
the
he
shoes.
Likes Larry Johnson.
His middle name is Ben.
There you go.
Did you just check Wikipedia as well?
No,
like, did you get into the social security? Have our Russian friends helped us out?
It comes from his. It comes from his father's nickname, Jelly.
I knew they're watching us.
Oh, that's nice. That's really quite sweet.
That is.
There you go.
Yeah, we learn something new every day. That's fantastic.
It's amazing what research does.
Yes.
I hope that's a quiz question one day.
Yeah. What is Toby Bryant's middle name? Bean.
Toby.
What we might do, we do have other parts of the goat herd to go through, but the first two has probably taken us a bit over time, so we might take a break and move on.
Welcome back from the break, guys. We're going to get straight back into it again. Eric's keen to have a quick yarnage about the tennis at the moment, the Australian Open update. What have you got for us?
I don't know what a yarnage is. That must be a Queensland thing.
Yeah,
he's straight from Melbourne Park, Eric.
Yes.
He's at Melbourne Park. What's the news?
Well, if I've come straight from Melbourne Park, I must have heat stroke because a lot of players complaining about that.
Yeah, it's been topical.
And tropical too. But I will say that I think it's getting blown a bit out of proportion. I don't know what the media's on about throughout this Australian Open, but they want to make a story about anything and everything. Like, players are going to have concerns about the heat. Players are going to ask for favourable time slots. And the players who are the greatest of all times are going to get the favourable time slots because that's where the TV market is and the tournament wants to see that.
And the cooler time slots as it works out. But
yeah, exactly.
That's what you get for being
the best.
The best, yeah.
And around.
And at the end of the day,
nothing's going to keep him
What are they going to do with the weather? I mean, they're already... players are already playing well past midnight. Players already playing well past midnight. You can't cancel half a day and reschedule.
Well, you can't cancel it because you've got a crowded house in. So,
good one.
Very good.
Well played.
Like, and you're absolutely right. Like, after the match, Kyrgios, he, finished 11:30, I think, Melbourne time. And then you've got Wozniacki who goes on. This is a little bit of a hit at 11:30 at night. So
yeah, well, last week I was watching a match and Gavrilova, I mean, it was 9 o'clock our time, but Gavrilova's match didn't start till 11:59 p.m. Melbourne time. So imagine hitting the court, or your match start hitting the court 11:30, not starting till midnight. That is late, but at least it wouldn't have been hot.
What did the crowd do? Why aren't they at work? Like, or in
at
bed,
midnight,
sleep, ready for work.
They're working at midnight.
Who goes out to watch a sporting event at midnight? It's like most people
tennis
are
crowd.
Hitting the clubs,
yeah.
I suppose.
Mm.
Well, maybe
it's only once a year.
Maybe they go.
Maybe
they
go from the club to there, then back to the club.
Maybe.
Or teaching people how to ride segways.
Yeah.
Yes, because I hear Warnie does that for a living now.
Warnie does tours in Perth.
Yeah, so if you ever want a segway tour, just hit up Warnie on our Facebook page, and he'll help you out there.
Nice segway.
Yeah. So look, when we look at what's left, in the women's, the top seeds are still there and really going as predicted there. And again, in the men's as well, not too many surprises. You know, you've got your top couple in there as well. Obviously, on Sunday night, Kyrgios, which will carefully tie into my prediction from last week. Kyrgios obviously didn't get through the week unscathed. Unfortunately, just lost there to Grigor. But what a game. And I think it showed a lot of maturity from Kyrgios. So, albeit I lose a prediction point, the maturity that he showed during that game to actually fight, where a lot of the times in that situation, 2-0 down, two sets down, he could have easily just, thrown the toys out of the cot and said, that's it, that's enough for me.
Do we need to see more of that now, though?
We do.
We don't want it to be a false dawn.
Yeah, we can't. Mm. You know, is it fair to say that we can't go back to what it was before, where the next time out, he just throws it in because he can't be bothered?
Well, I'm willing to give him another chance if he's gonna. If this is a new Kyrgios, well, then good on him. And he's definitely, as a brand, he's come out of the Australian Open with a greater brand, I guess, if you want to put it that way. So he's come out for me, having won back a little bit of respect, and I've got a little bit more respect for him now after this Australian Open, but he's got to keep it going if he wants to.
Probably time for a full-time coach for him as well now, I think.
Yeah. One thing I will say about Kyrgios, one of the greatest things about him now is he's a unique character, though. So now he's putting the effort in and the talent together, and it's starting to come together. It's not there yet. One thing I would hope or caution against is... very animated, and he tries to get his players' box into the game, which is great. You know, need a bit of personality in those breaks. But one thing he's got to be mindful of, and I know this is just nitpicking, and it's like the non-parent, you know, it's weird to me say, but he's dropping F-bombs at his players' box, saying, get the F up, F and come on, you know, all that sort of thing. So hopefully as part of his maturity and his evolution, hopefully that sort of, because you've got to be mindful when you got billions of people around the world watching, you got kids looking up to it, you can't be swearing off like that, especially when the cameras pick that up.
And there's no need for it as well.
I think you can still say, come on up. You can say, get up and stand up. You've just got to tailor it.
If make or break for you is whether or not your coach's box is standing up clapping, I think you're in some trouble. Right there, so I think he wants to draw some. Like I would much
people
hear
get up
try
in different ways. Like Fed,
I swear at the crowd.
Fed likes to be calm,
but
you know. So, but yeah, I just think he's got to be mindful of that because he was lucky not to get done for a code violation when he hit the ball into the crowd. And I know some overzealous referees may start to penalise him for that sort of excessive swearing. But other than that, as you said, Rowdy came out of the Australian Open.
Yeah.
A really good brand.
Other than the. Petulant swearing and hitting balls into the crowd. He done pretty well.
Hit one ball into the crowd.
Petulant hitting a ball.
So let's look at my prediction then for this week.
The prediction. What do you say there?
Thanks, Rowdy.
Predictions.
You seemed resigned to that fact there. It was almost as bad as Warnie's reaction to Sachin Tendulkar. But look, I'm going to back my man Adam in, and I'm going to say Zamps ramps it up at home.
Wow.
So, Australia Day, the yearly one-day international at the Adelaide Oval.
That is now, unfortunately, a dead rubber, but well done to England.
I guess. Sorry to our England listeners out there. But I reckon Zamps is going to really show what he's made of. I think he's going to get at least a threefer.
Another couple of wrongins in there, you think?
Oh, that wrongin.
The wrongin was a good ball.
Yeah, it was good. He's one good ball.
I was going to say one in a couple games. It's not
so
yeah.
He's going to get at least a threefer and go for less than five and over.
Oh, that less than five.
So that's worth 2 points if that comes down, I'm just saying.
So 1 point for each.
And under fifer, that's...
Yeah. So, I mean, so if your ball's one over and goes none for four, I'll take that. But
well, you'll get the 1 point.
I will.
3 wickets.
So I will take that 1 point. Rowdy, your prediction.
I'm glad.
Now, Rowdy, you need to understand a prediction is something that's going to happen in the allotted time that you were given. So please enlighten us as to what your prediction was last week.
What's the calendar? How does a week work?
Oh, you should.
How do days work? So obviously last week...
Continuo calendar somewhere.
Yeah, he's gone. He's gone with the calendar.
Yeah, the main calendar.
He took the calendar to Barcelona with him.
Oh, we don't need him anymore anyway.
No, we don't. We just need goalkeeper and defenders. But
but you sold him.
Anyway, that's another chat. Look, my prediction last week, when I made the prediction, I did forget that the prediction I made, it was not going to happen before this Monday night. So at the moment, my prediction is pending. It's prediction pending. I really put my head out. I really stuck my neck out saying that Roman Reigns would defend his Intercontinental Championship.
To defeat The Miz.
Yeah, would defeat The Miz.
But has he defeated The Miz this week?
Is he going to be in prison?
That's allegedly.
That could be for another chat. You might need to chat to Warnie's lawyer again. So he's going to defeat The Miz, and hopefully that'll happen tomorrow morning. So I'm hoping I still get my point if that happens. But if not, I'll be very disappointed anyway if The Miz beats him. This week, my prediction, I know this definitely does happen before next Monday because it's on Sunday. I was just thinking Saturday, no, it's on Sunday. The Australian Open final, I'm predicting that Nadal will play Federer.
Another limb you've gone out on here. The two best players in the tournament are going to meet each other in the final.
There's still a whole week to go, and there's still plenty of matches. There's quarterfinals and semifinals to go.
We're aware of how a tournament is structured. Thanks.
There are eight men left, so you know, I think it's not really that much sticking my neck out, is it? Come on. I need the points. Anyway, Nadal will play Federer, but for a bonus point, or maybe just for the point, because you reckon this is not good enough.
It's not good enough.
I think Nadal's going to win in four sets. So Nadal to win in four sets for the extra point. That's my prediction. I know, that's sticking my neck out.
What do you got, Steve?
Maybe just a digit.
Well, my prediction last week was turning the table in EPL.
Oh, yeah.
And that was the
turntables.
Yep, the
DJ Steve
bottom Chatty. Ranked sides, we're going to take points off the top ranked sides, and it was going to be the top rank. We're going to get 11 out of 18. With one team to play, I think they've already got 13. Thereabouts.
So the great thing is, Steve, he picked a prediction that we didn't check.
No, yeah. So I lost it.
The
anyway,
key to a good prediction.
Swansea are still to play Liverpool.
Yeah.
So, but we don't want that to be turning.
No.
We don't want that one to come true.
But Tottenham drew, and they're the only other team who dropped points.
And that was good that Tottenham dropped points. But
so Arsenal won, Arsenal beat Palace, United beat
Chelsea, 1-4-0.
Yep.
It just quietly Arsenal scored four goals in the first 22 minutes of that match. That was a scintillating start from Arsenal. I think they said no team has ever started in the Premier League, or no team has scored four goals in the first 20 minutes of a match like that. Right. So that was an amazing start.
Liverpool must have went close against Arsenal. Score four in like 25 or something.
Yeah, I think it was just outside. I think that was maybe closer to 30 minutes. But in that game, Liverpool did score three goals, I think, in the first 14 minutes or something like that.
Anyway, I'll move on.
We digress.
My prediction is scorching the BBL. So the Scorchers are going to beat the Strikers and finish the regular season on top. Therefore, they will get a home final if win the final.
At a stadium that we can't allow 40 or 60,000 people at.
Pending. They'll allow
patent pending.
Close to that.
Yeah.
But yeah, so what about you?
As long as they all take a boat. You have to get there
by
boat.
We also do ferries in the city of Perth too.
Mm.
No, my prediction last week failed miserably. The Aussies lost and Warner did not make a ton. So, in saying that, I'm going to stick with the cricket theme and I'm actually going to get us into the Under-19 World Cup. I'm actually going to pick. I have no idea who's going well in there at the moment, which is probably not uncommon for them.
I think India are doing quite well.
Shut up, Red.
I think Afghanistan are doing quite well.
Are they?
Yeah, won their first two. I know that.
Ireland to beat the Windies.
In the under-19.
In the under-19 World Cup starts on what's today?
The West Indies.
22nd, 21st.
So we're looking at
2 days.
Potentially irrelevant games. Well, I'm changing mine to a fourth round English county cricket game. I think Brighton and Hove Albion County are going to take on Middlesex.
Never stipulated how relevant these games needed to be or these predictions needed to be. It just needed to be a prediction.
I think in the under-9s, Cottesloe might defeat us one more.
Did you know that at the Milo have a go this weekend? I reckon one kid is going to bat for 12 deliveries and then the next kid's going to bat for 12 deliveries.
And they'll face the equal amount of balls from each bowler.
Yeah, and we won't keep track of score either.
Who did you say was playing?
West Indies and Ireland.
But we'll have a blast.
We will.
So anyway.
So that's good. At the Bert Sutcliffe debacle oval in Lincoln.
Bert Sutcliffe debacle oval.
Your predictions are a bit of a debacle at this moment.
That's going to be in Warney's top three sport grounds next week. So just spoiler alert.
What day?
The 23rd. So.
23rd, okay.
So look, that's definitely going to be one to watch
tomorrow,
if you can find where to watch it. So
5:30 a.m. I don't know where that's local, but anyway,
that's local. It's 5:30 a.m. o'clock somewhere.
It's local to someone.
Yeah, wasted away at Margaritaville. So. Warney, what are you going to watch then? That's going to be relevant.
What am I going to watch? I'm taking a different course of action on the what to watch this week. It's not going to be a game that's actually we're not going to know the result up front. But Fox Footy at the moment's currently got the running with the History Month, and I think Wednesday morning, if I'm not mistaken, they've actually got the Sydney West Coast 2005 Grand Final on the cards. I thought it's quality game, classic, and I still remember the after effects of that game, sort of. So I'm going with that one.
Mm.
Do you want to just put that as your prediction? That's more relevant than the under 19.
I'm not going to lie to you. I considered that and just see if you'd pick it up. But
I'm not going to lie.
I only asked because they weren't in the same group. It's a ninth place playoff. That's how relevant that game is.
Oh. I'll also pick their captain or make a 50.
Who's captain? Who's captain?
John Davidson.
The island. I hope he's actually a batsman
the,
too.
The so island.
Island.
Yeah, he might be the number 11 bat.
Yeah.
I hope that happens and that he does score 50.
Yeah.
It does like a miracle innings.
Oh, that would be good.
If that comes through, what are the points allocation I get for that one?
Oh, you can have two.
I think you win the predictions for eternity if that comes in.
Yes.
Yeah. If but he has to be the number 11 bat and he's got to score 50.
Yes, that was the caveat there. Rowdy, what are you watching this week?
Well, I'm watching my prediction. I'm watching my last week's prediction keenly, and then after that, I'll look. The Wildcats had a horrendous weekend against the Sydney Kings. Yeah, they played terribly, and take nothing away from the Sydney Kings, but they've got a massive match against the New Zealand Breakers Saturday night, and I tell you what, Damien Martin, I heard him have a chat to your guy Shane Hill. You said that you put Shane Hill up there. Yeah.
For those playing at home, Rowdy just pointed at Steve because he forgot that we're not a video podcast. Yeah. So he's just worked his finger around there, going, "Was it Warnie? Was it?" So
are these cameras still not working?
No, they're still not working.
Okay, yeah. So Shane Hill's having a chat with Martin. He was very, very frank and honest about where they're at, and they're going to have a big week of training. And Trevor Gleeson, I think, is going to put them through a bit. So look, I'm interested to see how they bounce back against the New Zealand Breakers, because that'll be an interesting one on Saturday at night.
Wonder if he'll give him the whole Kenny Lowe speech.
Oh, yes.
I don't think
you guys are making me look bad.
Yeah, no, he doesn't deserve that. What I'll be watching is...
Please, what are you watching, Eric?
Well, I'll be watching Rowdy's... I'll be watching Rowdy's prediction, because I actually picked the right week for it, and I've been looking forward to this for quite a while. It's no secret with the millions of references I drop in that I'm a huge wrestling fan, and tomorrow morning, Tuesday
morning...
He loves
Roman Reigns.
Does not love Roman Reigns. Raw 25th anniversary now, for say what you want, predetermined, blah, blah, blah. But big part of my childhood, they released the video on the WWE Facebook page with like the greatest moments and the opening package, and it was a little bit of a trip down memory lane there. So Raw 25, they bring back some of the big superstars of the past to make an appearance there.
Like Roman.
Rumors are that Undertaker's going to set up a match with John Cena, which will probably be his last stand.
Oh, wow.
Stone Cold Steve Austin for the first time in a few years, and that's always interesting. Chris Jericho, fresh off his New Japan stint, and he's still involved with them, is going to make an appearance as well. I'm hoping for two left field things, though. I'm hoping that this might be the time that WWE, completely inexcusable what he did, but hopefully this is a chance to bring back Hulk Hogan back into the WWE family.
Mm.
And a really left field one is hopefully they bring out Gene Snitsky, which you'd have to be a wrestling fan to understand that reference. But if Gene Snitsky comes back, that's it. They can do whatever they want and make Jinder Mahal champion again. I don't care.
Wasn't he in Kiss?
No.
I do like a good chicken schnitzel, though.
He did actually have quite a good, like... Gene Simmons, but yeah, so that's what I'm looking forward to. And
does he make a good chicken? Does he make a good chicken schnitzel? Like, and Steve just took the words out of my mouth.
He's laughing at his own joke.
Yeah,
he says it.
It's not his fault. But yeah, that's what I'm looking forward to. Should be a good one. Steve.
I'm going really boring. My what to watch is my prediction. It's
boring.
Yep, first and second on the ladder, fighting for top spot.
Daryl.
Inevitably, if they win the home final. So there's a lot riding on it. So it'll be at the Furnace. I reckon
that's
going to be a really good game.
The Turnus.
And it, and for
the last game at the Furnace.
The Turnus.
The last
Furnace
game
well.
Ever. Bit of nostalgia.
Well, last BBL game.
Oh, yes, true. Yeah.
Whether or not it's the last
game. Last game with a crowd of any sort.
Yeah, pretty much. But yeah, so it'll be a big game. And not just that, there's rumours that both Ashtons might be on Australian T20 duty during the finals.
Hopefully not.
Whether that's true or not, I don't know. But that'll be a big blow to them. So, yeah, I'm just looking forward to it. It should be a good game.
It's the Turnus, not the Mirrorheadness. But that's Thursday at 4:40, isn't it?
Yeah.
So safe to say Steve's not going to be at cricket training this week, which is Thursday.
I can't anyway.
Oh, yeah, that's convenient.
Because he's watching that.
No. I can tell you why, but I don't think it's relevant to that.
We'll save it for after the podcast.
Yeah. Save it for after. Yeah.
Should we get into to probably the most important segment?
Oh yeah.
Of the week or probably. Each week?
Well, it's the Luke Beveridge of the week.
For, so.
It's true.
It's Rowdy's big dog.
Oh, the big dog. Why? Do it again, Warnie.
No,
don't. haven't you noticed I edit them out when he does it? So.
Yeah. You shouldn't.
It just shows you how often they listen to the podcast.
Save for the podcast. The big dog of the big dog of the week this week. Look, I've gone not for a player. I've gone for a coach. He's had a bit of a tough time of it this season. He's probably being criticised a little bit.
Why'd you turn into Stuart Griffin?
Who's, who's coaching the Stars?
Could he be a round ball game coach?
It is a round ball game, but the hand dribbling version.
Yeah. I think I know where you're going.
Have a guess.
One. Is it Gazy?
It's the Bonce.
It's this the Bonce.
The big dog is Gazy the Bonce. Look, he's been through a lot, and you know he's probably.
He's had a good life. Come on.
Yeah.
Look, the worst wicket.
He's only the best player the NBA's ever seen. But
the NBA.
NBA.
Oh, wow. We didn't have this on our things earlier.
Well, he is an NBA champion at San Antonio.
He wasn't on your three best basketball players.
Best player the NBA's ever seen.
He changed the game for the NBA, the American market, Andrew Gaze.
Yeah, but if he was the best player the NBA ever seen, how come he wasn't your number three?
Because he's not Ricky Grace.
It was a quota system he had.
Yeah.
White people.
Wow, Warnie. That's the big edit out this week, Steve. Yeah.
Okay.
Back to Bonce.
Back to who's my big dog again? Oh, that's right. Gazy the
greatest
Bonce.
Player of all time.
And I just wanted to see him walking along the Perth Arena with that flag draped across his left shoulder, marching. It would have added a little bit of a touch to the ceremony, but look, he's done the Wildcats twice over the weekend. Well done. Look, he was just so happy. You could just see how happy he was after the Sunday win to beat them back-to-back, and I guess including a win in Perth. It's a massive, massive thing for his team. He seems to have got his players back now. He's had injury issues. He's had different things go wrong. Kevin Lish is a great player. His coaching, he's not there yet with his coaching. I guess he's developing and learning as a coach, and but you know, well done to him. He's had a really good weekend, and I think he might actually be looking to build on next season with that team. And the Kings might actually be a decent outfit next season.
Will they still have Randall next season?
Well, they haven't signed him yet, but they should, and I don't know why they haven't. And they're saying because he's got an aging body that they should wait before they sign him. But I think sign him now, get him in there. He's a gun player, and what that will do, that will get all the Sydney supporters, they'll get signed up early because they'll be like, oh, we got Randall again.
Yep.
It'll get the whole place buzzing. So I think they should sign him as soon as they can.
Well, the reason they don't, because they seem to just cancel import contracts if they're not doing well anyway. So
but there is a cost to cancelling a contract, though, that we don't know behind the scenes, because you can't just rip up a contract and not pay them. But what I will just quickly say that I've changed my highlight of the week. My highlight of the week is Ben Lachlan's ridiculous catch. By the time that you listen to this, you will know that that was one of the most ridiculous catches of all time, and we'll put a highlight of that. It was a great catch along the boundary. Lachlan almost going over, and he's thrown it over to Weatherall. That was just incredible.
So it's Weatherall's catch then?
In real time.
Yeah,
Weatherall's taken the best catch of
it. So Weatherall is in the scorebook taking the best catch of all time, but that is just insane.
It's a pity he doesn't get the credit for it.
It's not one of the small throws. That was a hurl.
That was went about four rowdy throws away to get to the second one. So
what, 10 meters?
Couple of customs.
Yeah, which equates to about six Eric kicks.
Yeah, well, again, I kicked a goal at the MCG. But that's my new highlight of the week.
Early highlight. Oh, sorry, a belated highlight.
Lindsay Thomas has kicked a goal at the MCG. Just throwing it out there. It doesn't mean much.
Throwing it out there, like the way he throws his arms at people who are trying to tackle him.
Yeah.
It's a dirty
way.
Wow,
this is taking a turn.
Yes, it has. All right.
Well, he keeps bringing up Lindsay Thomas, and he knows how much I despise Lindsay Thomas.
Ooh, and I do notice you have something on your right there. Is it a Russian standard?
That was maybe a worse segue than Warnie's ever produced.
I could do worse.
Yeah. Hey,
king of the segues.
I wasn't even trying to do my worst one.
So it's yes.
I'll do a worse one next time.
Oh, I don't doubt that. So anyway, the Luke Beveridge of the week. We went with a Russian standard vodka in solidarity of our fallen comrade, Nick Kyrgios, even.
It's Kyrgios. It's Rachel and Kyrgios.
No, I was on a break from drinking. So,
shortly.
Russian standard vodka. Vodka and water. Well, that goes to why I picked it. Vodka and water doesn't blow out my waistline any more than it is. I could probably still go for a little trundle as well after our recording of the podcast. So it was the vodka and soda water. The other guys had some bitter lemons in it. I've brought the bottle out.
I'm going to show Steve the label. I'm just transporting the bottle.
Transporting. What are you, Rowdy Statham over here? Wee. So I'm going to give it... I actually didn't mind it. It went down like water. I'll give it 3.5 of the Lukes.
Yeah, look, I enjoyed it. I think... Look, it went down well. Very, very refreshing. Actually, a bit like Warnie's drink a couple of weeks ago.
It's better than Warnie's
drink. Quite refreshing. A little bit of ice in there.
What was Warnie's drink called? We'll have to find that out as well. The shaved date, wasn't it?
Something like that. The shaved date. The angry gorilla.
The angry gorilla.
Look, I'm gonna give it
the silverback segue.
Moving on. I'll give it a three and a half. I think it was good drink. Good drink. 3.5 for me.
The label's not the greatest. The font's not bad.
The font's not bad.
It's certainly no Comic Sans.
No. That Calibri or Times New Roman thing up there is not too bad.
It's Windings.
Windings.
Oh, no, that's just Russian.
But yeah, in terms of drink, the drink's nice. I actually don't mind vodka, soda water, and lime. It is refreshing, and I'd give it a 3.5.
Well, I'm going to average it out here and give it the 3.5 as well. I'm not a huge fan of the soda water, but I think the lemony stuff just added that extra bit of
twist.
Yeah, the lemony fresh.
Yeah.
Just added it into a little bit, but yeah, no, reasonable and yeah, definitely on the refreshing part.
Cool.
Play on, advantage.
I think so.
Advantage to the Russian.
Did you give yours, Eric?
I did. Yeah. I see. The thing is, I listen to the podcast, especially when I'm speaking. Yes.
Well, that's right. Well, since we've all done ours.
So. And just to correct Warnie, it wasn't advantage Russian, it was game, set, match.
Very good.
Moving along. Okay.
Dead air. That was good. That felt like a lifetime.
We might as well end the podcast here.
Well,
I think we really ended it 30 seconds ago.
Steve just lost his mental faculties for a moment.
Yeah, it is. We might have a special guest next week.
Yeah, so...
That's what I was trying to think of.
Did we might have a special guest?
And you say, I've got bad English.
Yes. It's a blind leading the blind here. Yes, we'll have a special guest next week. Of course, next week we'll be ramping up to the Super Bowl.
Zampa?
That'll be my prediction coming true. So we're ramping up to the Super Bowl. So get a mate in and knows a little bit more about the NFL than us collective idiots do. We'll get a gear up for the big game and a lot of buffalo wings. And
we'll be asking him if we can put fruit in the Super Bowl.
My God, jeez. I wish Rowdy had checked out of the podcast about 30 seconds ago. So, be looking forward to bringing him in and we'll talk all things Patriots.
Yep.
Very fruitful, Rowdy.
If anyone's got any NFL questions, please post them to us.
We'll
ask our guru.
We'll need them.
Yeah. sorry, Pete, you've just been nailed a guru.
Me, Warnie and I will need them.
But yes, no, it'll be exciting. And still looking out for ideas for our Nobody's Heroes challenges as well. So please throw out some sports ideas. We've got a few things in the fire there. So if you've got any suggestions or ideas, throw them our way on the Facebooks, the Twitters, or, you know, just maybe text us.
All of them.
Yeah. All right, well, until next week, we'll catch you later.
Gotcha.
Ta-da. Peace out.